The Old Testament lesson for the Feast of the Circumcision in name of Jesus is from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, the third chapter. "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Had been fulfilled for circumcising him, his name was called Jesus, the name called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Happy New Year, and a blessed Feast of the Circumcision in name of Jesus to all of you, dear ones. It's great to see you. Hope you're well. Today is a marvelous feast day. I truly love it, and I hope that you love it as much as I do. Because in our gospel lesson for today, we have something so profound, short, but just magnificent. From the pen of St. Luke, we have just a few words in the Greek text, less than 30, and only one verse in total, just one. But it is just glorious and rich with theological significance for us. Among other things, our text sets before us the doctrine of Christ's vicarious satisfaction, that Jesus submits himself to God's law given through Moses and satisfies all of its holy requirements and demands in our place for the sake of our salvation, even for us Gentiles, who according to the flesh did not descend from Abraham. Christ's circumcision as an infant on the eighth day is done in obedience to the law. And his name, Jesus, or Yeshua, in English means Yahweh saves. And these things are in blessed union and harmony with each other, dear ones. These things are intimately linked because the circumcision of Jesus, and it is the first time he sheds his holy blood in fulfilling God's law for us and for all mankind. Work which he finally completes on the cross, and by which Jesus redeems us and saves us from our sins. Now, in the first place, I want to point out what I think is sorely lacking in the rather bland ESV translation of this text. The ESV says this: at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. And while that's certainly true, it's certainly true in point of fact, it by no means captures the depth and the richness of what's going on in the text. A better translation would render it this way: that when the 8 days had been fulfilled for circumcising him, his name was called Jesus. Dear ones, the language of fulfillment is not only plainly there in the Greek text, it is so crucial for understanding what the scriptures are saying to us about what's going on in his circumcision, about what his name means for us. This text proclaims to you that from the very beginning of his life, Jesus is fulfilling God's law with all that it required, all that it demanded, and all that it expected. Jesus, from the beginning, fulfills it all to perfection. And there's salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no salvation in the great name of Moses. He could not fulfill the law God gave through him or redeem himself from his sins. You remember that he shed innocent blood, striking down an Egyptian. He angered God in the wilderness. He could not atone for his own sins. There's no salvation either in the honorable name of Aaron or his sons in the priesthood who spilled the blood of bulls and goats. There's no salvation in them either, because the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. Salvation is not in the names of the mighty judges of Israel. Think of Gideon or Samson, those who spilled the blood of Israel's enemies. But there's no salvation in them, ultimately, because our sins stand against us as menacing foes, terrible enemies that stand against us, enemies that we cannot overcome, and certainly they can't either. Nor is there salvation in the great name of King David either, a man after God's own heart who became an adulterer and made the blood of Uriah the Hittite spill out, pour out on the battlefield in an attempt to cover over his sin. None of these can save, none of these can fulfill the law and redeem themselves or any of us. Nor, I should add, can any great names among us today save. There's no escape clause saying that the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, can buy you out of your sins. There's no political candidate that can save you. We're going to start seeing here names plastered on bumper stickers in people's front yards, social media, commercials, TV interviews, playing themselves up to be effectively saviors. Some may actually call themselves that. And we must not take them to be such. There is salvation in no one else but Jesus. We do not put our hope in princes, celebrities, and most certainly not in our own works. But in his circumcision, we find Jesus fulfilling the law and shedding his holy blood for sinners, for us. He obtains righteousness for us in his obedience to the law, and he takes away our sins. He actively obeys everything that the law demands. He passively suffers everything the law would bring down upon transgressors, upon you and me. Jesus suffers even death on the cross, which is the culmination of his righteous obedience to the law in our place. He sheds his holy, precious blood to redeem us, to purchase and win us from our sins and all that we deserve because of them. And he gives you, all of you, dear ones, his merit, his availing merit and righteousness as a free gift delivered personally to every one of you by name. He knows your name and has given his merit to you in holy baptism. Baptism, which St. Paul calls a circumcision made without hands. Think of this, dear ones. By your baptism into Christ, by faith in him, you are heirs of Abraham, according to promise. Not according to circumcision of the flesh. Now, circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Not at all. Christ has fulfilled it. Now only a new creation is what counts. Think of what this means for you. If your conscience has been set ablaze by all the ways that you have transgressed God's law, all the ways that you have fallen short from his perfection, let the blood of Christ, dear ones, and the waters of your baptism quench that flame in your conscience. Likewise, if you have a stinging conscience, because you recognize all that you have left undone, all the good things that you have withheld from your neighbor, all the evil things that you have done, let the precious name of Jesus be a soothing balm for you today. Dear ones, what a precious treasure we have in the circumcision and name of Jesus. They avail much for us. And what a great way to contemplate and begin the new year, by thinking about the circumcision and name for Jesus, what this means for you. Treasure it now and always. And to Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.